Clock is ticking for our troops in the field. And the longer Congress delays, the worse the impact on the men and women of the armed forces will be.
What? What a day. Good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. We had a glitch last night that involved all of our phone lines and made it impossible to do the program from here in Atlanta. That's what that was all about. And as we sit here tonight, we have tornado warnings and watches all over the southeast. So if for some reason we have to go to a so-called best of Malloy program, that will be the reason, not because I've been fired or not because the NSA has shut us down. I know it gets very frustrated, but that's part of the problem when, you know, every broadcast we do is essentially a remote. And sometimes that works just fine. Sometimes you have these technical problems, especially where it concerns AT&T, which can't find his ass with both hands, apparently, or weather. So sorry about last night, although it did allow me to go to bed at 10:30. So, but still, sorry about last night. Too much Cappuccino Perino was in rare form today. She could barely keep her motor mouth ahead of the spin on Bush's newest adventure, the War Czar. Oh, my God. We'll get into that a little bit later, but just my head is reeling, spinning. Kathy came into the kitchen today where I was doing something, I don't know, watering the plants. And she said, guess what? Bush wants a war czar. Oh, it's one of those head-smacking moments. One of those stupefyingly crazed, like, where am I moments. A war czar? Is that like an education czar? Does that have anything to do with Russia? Ah, deep breath. And it looks like Bush went out scouting for another hapless group of military people to be his backdrop. Again, he's running out of healthy supportive troops to stand in front of. So now he wants a war czar to stand next to. It's my war czar. I wonder what Robert Gates thinks of that. I wonder what the Joint Chiefs think of that. I wonder what Petraeus thinks of that. I wonder. Oh, never mind. Speaking of man or monkey, he spoke to a bunch of aging American Legion members yesterday. American Legion is not too much different in context from the bully boys who made up the brown shirts in Germany in the 20s, not the SS. But, you know, and in context, you got to put it in context. And in front of that group of slobbering idiots, he accused the Democrats of not caring about the safety of the troops. Why? Because those filthy Democrats want to bring the troops home safe and sound. It's almost too much newspeak for one humble talk show host to handle. So we do have some moron sounds on the show tonight. And double your pleasure, double your speed. Dana, too much Cappuccino Perino. And yes, I'm going to spend the first couple of minutes here on the IMUS cancellation and the dropping of charges and the declaration in North Carolina that the three men accused of raping the exotic dancer are innocent. Prosecutors, state district attorneys never make that sort of a statement. They can say there's not enough evidence, but they never say these men are innocent or this woman or this person is innocent. So we'll get to both of those right away. Now, this evening, David Brock, President and CEO of Media Matters for America, released the following statement regarding the decision by NBC News to cancel MSNBC's simulcast of Imus in the Morning. Quote, by canceling their simulcast of Don Imus on MSNBC, the National Broadcasting Company has finally done the right thing. We hope CBS Radio will follow NBC's lead. More and more Americans are coming to understand the damage done by major news organizations providing a platform for bigoted commentary and other conservative misinformation, and they are demanding change. MSNBC's decision is an important step in the right direction. This decision sends a clear message to other networks, journalists, and media personalities that bigotry and hate speech have no place on America's airwaves. The cable networks would be well advised to think twice about their broadcasting decisions in the future. It is our hope that this will open a larger dialogue on the overall tone of the media today. And I thoroughly agree with that. And by the way, for the folks who have, and there have been a handful of people telling me this is a free speech issue. No, it isn't. Apparently, you folks, some of you do not understand the First Amendment. The First Amendment has nothing whatsoever to do with what is allowed by a corporation or a network or a radio show or your mama or the PTA. The First Amendment, the right of free speech, simply means that the government will make no laws restricting freedom of speech. That's all. The government, in this case, the FCC, long ago said to hell with it and turned loose on the American public a clutch of lying sons of bitches unlike any we've ever seen in broadcast. And I mean from Rush Limbaugh to Michael Wiener to Sean Hannity to all of these right-wing thugs who broadcast their hate, their lies, their misinformation, their disinformation, their pro-war talk. And you know what? With the exception of Armstrong Williams, every single one of them is white. Michelle Malkin? I don't know what she is. I really don't care. But you get my point. Freedom of speech, sure. Sure. Freedom of speech. When the government of George W. Bush or Bill Clinton or anybody says, Malloy, you can't talk about politics, then my ass takes up a gun and asks everybody else to join me at the barricades. But that's not what the Ima situation was about. The Ima situation was about an arrogant, rich, wealthy white man who has been allowed over the course of his 30-year career to say any damn thing he wants, and he always has picked on people who either can't defend themselves for the really hardcore stuff or people whom he might invite on, politicians and other media stars, to offer up some kind of a candy-ass defense. Imus, like George Bush, like Sean Hannity, like Rush Limbaugh, is a bully. That's all he's about. A bully, a liar, a sneak, and he deserves to have his ass thrown out. Now, go concentrate on doing good work, Don. That's all you have to do. You've got your hand in all kinds of things that are good. Your ranch, autism awareness, working for veterans, these are good things. That does not give you a pass. It does not give you a pass to call mostly teenage girls who busted their hump to win to try to win a basketball championship a bunch of nappy-haired hoes. Sorry, Don, doesn't work that way. Not even in your world, pal. Goodbye. Now it's up to CBS Radio. There's a statement by NBC News President Steve Capus. If you want to see it in its entirety, it was, I believe it was on the, who's the bow tie boy on MSNBC? Tucker Carlson. I believe it was on his program this afternoon. You can go to YouTube and just look, I don't know what you would type in, NBC statement or Steve Capus, C-A-P-U-S statement. And it's 11 minutes long. It's just the statement and then the discussion. I haven't watched the whole discussion, but since it's Tucker Carlson, I'm sure that they're trying desperately to figure out a way to make it look like Imus is a victim here. That's the other thing. I've gotten a lot of emails, a lot of comments from people who try to make IMUS appear to be the victim. What the hell is wrong with you people? Come on. IMUS? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Once or twice myself, I've got 100,000 watts running through this microphone. And I can let your message ring loud and clear. Well, tomorrow I'd be gone, because you can't say that on the radio. I'd really like to help you out. That's just the way. You can't say that on the radio. Yeah. Think of me what you will. I've got a little space to fill. So let's get to the point. Let's roll another joint. Let's head on down the road. Somewhere.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's 21 past the hour. I want to read something for you, written by a friend of mine, titled IMUS is Just the Tip of the Iceberg. Here's what it says. IMUS is another example of the degradation of talk radio that has been going on since Rush Limbaugh started this in the early 80s. Rush was another failed disc jockey that got lucky in the 80s when talk radio and the AM signal were in deep trouble. So they experimented with a show that had no boundaries as to the kind of racism and hate-mongering that could be disseminated in talk radio. This was followed by the other right-wing haters with a mix of the shock jocks like Howard Stern and Don Imus. The fairness doctrine was killed by the Reagan administration, which was followed by the Telecommunications Act of 1996, signed by President Clinton. This is the short history of why hate and racist talk radio is the rule rather than the exception. That is why I find it so ironic that the mainstream media is pounding away at this story like the vultures that they have become. The mainstream media nurtured, incubated, and profited from the hate radio they created, and now they are shocked at the IMUS remarks. This is reminiscent of the famous Casablanca line by the corrupt prefect of police when he closed down Rick's Cafe American. He said, quote, "I am shocked that there is gambling going on in here." That was his excuse for closing Rick's casino, as the casino manager says, "Your winnings, inspector." So IMUS is the sacrificial lamb for the whole stinking mess, and he is not the worst of these hate mongers. Rush commits a felony drug offense after he and his Republican right-wing cohorts have been saying far worse racist remarks for more than 20 years. Where's the outrage? Instead of the shock jock words that IMUS used for the Rutgers basketball team, these right-wingers have effectively created more hatred, racism, and divisiveness than IMUS could ever have done with his irresponsible comment. The hateful comments like feminazi or Ellen DeGenerate by these people has never gotten the attention that the IMUS statement got. Perhaps IMUS is fair game to these mainstream media executives because he supports Democrats as well as Republicans. There was even a suggestion by some idiot commentator that IMUS is a liberal. In my opinion, IMUS would only be a liberal in the context of a fascist group. My suggestion to Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and the other anti-defamation groups is that they extend their outrage to the other talk radio hosts who are doing far more damage than IMUS. This would be a message to the advertisers that would really have an impact on talk radio and the dissemination of hatred that has so divided this country over the last 20 years. My suggestion to IMUS is that he donates a few million dollars to a chaired professorship at Rutgers University for a media program directed at this problem, if he is serious about his apology. I would like to invite people to go to our website, NovaMradio.com, to sign a petition to the mainstream media about this issue and show your outrage. Enough is enough. And it's signed Sheldon Drobny, co-founder, Nova M Radio and Air America Radio. So, I think that is the point. That the outrage, while I feel that the outrage in this case is completely justified, it just makes me want to puke. to think how much, as Shelley pointed out in his email here, how much that has been tolerated, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's one thing to go after politicians and media stars and people who can fight back. It's something else, again, to just consistently attack people who do not have the ability to fight back. I remember Limbaugh, one of Limbaugh's earliest targets, and it was ongoing for probably a decade, the rotten son of a bitch, was homeless people. Homeless people. Talking about how people who live on grates and cover themselves with their coats and what do you call them, urban outdoorsmen, just slamming people, beating people up mercilessly, the lard-ass bastard. That's the kind of thing. Anytime you hear a right-winger attack someone, they're attacking people that simply don't have the wherewithal to fight back. He attacks PETA. Okay, PETA can fight back. He attacks environmentalists. Oh, that makes sense. That just shows his idiocy. But the term feminazi, I have been fired for refusing to shut my mouth on radio stations where Limbaugh would be part of the programming, and he would use a term like feminazi, and I would use a term like the Bush crime family, and I would be told to shut up or lose my job, and I would lose the job. So screw all this. All this outrage by NBC and CBS and all the talk shows. And now, of course, as usually is the case, the backlash is developing. All the people all of a sudden who are coming to Imus's defense. Well, screw you too. You don't have a clue as to what racism really is. You don't have a clue as to what it is to be constantly denigrated and beat up on and not have a chance to talk back. So spare me the emails that go to Imus's defense, okay? I don't want to see them, I don't want to read them, and I'll delete them as soon as I know what you're writing about. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Don't be left out. Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
26 before the hour, Jackie mailed in and said, "Good evening, Mike. Wouldn't it be nice if this reticent corporate media devoted as much time as they're spending on this panty waste on Imus and the Rutgers women's basketball team as, let's say, our troops in Iraq without enough body armor? You know, the ones being killed and maimed senselessly. Do you think they could do that?" That's not what media is about in this country. I don't know why they brought the hammer down on Imus. I really don't. When you consider that right-wing talk radio has been the slop in which this culture has had to wade for the past 15, 18 years. Some of the things that have been said by these right-wing haters makes Imus look like a piker. Just an absolute piker. Which does not excuse Imus. Maybe Imus was getting too close to putting people on who were being critical of too many key operatives in the Bush crime family. I have no idea. Maybe it was a warning to people like Tim Russert or whomever else appeared. I have no idea. As far as I'm concerned, the statement itself was enough to fire his ass. Now, whether or not CBS Radio does or his syndicator, Westwood One, remains to be seen. But again, I'm well aware of the hypocrisy of firing a washed-out old man like Don Imus, who happens to be famous, happens to have lots of money, happens to, for some reason, be a stopping point for America's elite, whether they're political or media or sports or whatever they are, entertainment. how his program got to that point, I have no idea. Maybe just longevity, the fact that he's been on the air since God was a teenager. I have no idea. And I really, frankly, don't care. It really doesn't, none of that matters to me. This doesn't stop Imus from working with kids with cancer. It doesn't stop Imus from working on his autism awareness work. It doesn't stop him from going ahead and spending more time and more of his resources on facilities for wounded veterans. Bless his heart for doing all that. But that's not what this is about. This is about using his position and his power in such a hateful, nasty way that he and his white boys on the program just thought was funny as hell. Let's bust up on a few young black girls this morning. That'll be a fun thing to do, huh? Well, okay, take the consequences. That's all. That's all. I said we're going to do a little bit of this, and then we're going to move on. This is from Josh Epstein in New York. Dear mainstream media, MSNBC removing Imus from the air today was a mediocre start. I say mediocre because he's been saying hateful, racist, anti-Semitic things for years and has been apologizing for them with each uproar that took hold for just as many years. What about Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck? What about Melanie Morgan and Michael Wiener Savage? Then, of course, there's Ann, sweet Ann Coulter. Under the guise of free speech, these people spew hate, some of them going as far as condoning violence against gays, liberals, Muslims, and our own ex-presidents. I could literally link you to hundreds of racist, bigoted, homophobic, anti-Semitic, anti-Islamic, chauvinistic, and sexist comments from this year alone by the sociopaths I've listed. And they are sociopaths, make no mistake about it. Somehow Rush Limbaugh fooled talk radio into believing he represented a fresh, exciting, and new way of saying the things that he claimed many of us were thinking, which we weren't. It was downhill from there. These people are on the public airwaves just like Imus was. What's the difference? One person I spoke with via email on the subject said, yeah, but Imus was mainstream. People don't like or don't take Ann Coulter or Rush Limbaugh seriously. Excuse me? Same airwaves, same hate speech, different sociopathic mouths. Do you really believe Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity are sane? Do you honestly believe they represent a legitimate portion of our society as opposed to an angry mob fringe element that happens to be louder than most? What about Pat Robertson, James Dobson, Jerry Falwell, Bill Donahue? Are they representative of your faith or your understanding of Jesus Christ? If there was a rabbi who ran around spewing these things these bastards do, I'd be at the top of the list denouncing them. Who of these guys have you taken to task publicly? These people are the bottom feeders of our society, all dressed up in the legitimacy of our airwaves, networks, and Oval Office prayer meetings. These are our own terrorists. They just don't use bombs. They use words. Hateful, vile words that are meant to inflame, provoke, and hurt. It's time to put an end to their kind of speech, for it is not free to those of us on the receiving end of it. Not by a long shot. Josh Epstein in New York. All remaining charges were dropped today against three former Duke University lacrosse players who had been accused of rape more than a year ago, according to North Carolina's Attorney General. This concludes a three-month investigation of a racially charged case that polarized and outraged many in the state and nation. Roy Cooper, the state attorney general, said at a televised news conference, quote, "We believe these individuals are innocent," end quote. He said the accounts of the events given by the woman who made the accusations were so inconsistent that they were not credible. The decision brings to an end a 13-month ordeal for the young men, two of whom were dismissed from Duke because of the charges. One of two women hired to strip at the lacrosse team's spring break party in March 2006 accused them of raping and assaulting her in a bathroom of an off-campus house. The woman changed her story after DNA tests showed no traces of DNA from any of the three defendants or any other Duke lacrosse player on her body or her clothes, but traces of other male DNA were present. Despite the shifting accusations, Mr. Cooper, the Attorney General, said today that no charges would be brought against the woman. He said investigators and attorneys from his office who talked to her, quote, think that she may actually believe the many different stories that she's been telling, end quote. A lawyer for one of the defendants, no longer one of the accused, said the young man had suffered, or the young men had suffered a great injustice through what he characterized as, quote, the tremendous lies, end quote, told by the Durham County, North Carolina District Attorney Michael Nifong. The case touched nerves of race, sex, and privilege, both nationally and in Durham, because the accuser was a poor black local woman and the students were relatively affluent white out-of-staters. What else is there? This is a lengthy article in the Times online. No one but the accuser, neither the other dancer nor any of the more than 20 men at the party, said they had witnessed an assault. In bringing the charges, Mr. Nifong relied solely on the woman's photo identification of the three suspects and on a report by a sexual assault nurse who had examined the woman the night of the attack. The district attorney said that the examination showed proof of assault and that he was compelled to give the woman a chance to testify and identify people in court. And it goes on and on and on here. Now, you know, I don't think I or anybody who is sane can, based on the forensic evidence, deny that this young woman had some sort of a sexual encounter on the night that she accused these Duke students of raping her. But if you put any faith in DNA forensic evidence, and I do, then it is an impossibility that sexual escapade occurred with these three men. Aside from the tragedy of the four people involved, the woman and the three she accused of raping her, aside from that horror for all four of them, is the fact that if you'll remember back when this case broke, the absolute, I've never seen a rush to judgment the way these three white guys were accused of raping this black woman. I've never seen anything like this. And I have to admit, while I did not go on the air and join in the lynch mob, in the back of my mind and talking with Kathy, I said, well, obviously, this is a case where these three guys raped her. Obviously, I said. And it was no more obvious to me than it was obvious to anyone else. But because of the horror that has existed in this society, because of 350 years of oppression and slavery, because of X, Y, Z, A, B, and C, on and on, I'm not going to bore you with all the becauses, but because of all of them, it was so easy to jump to that conclusion. I remember when Tawana Brawley accused a white, I even forget now, cops or whoever it was, of kidnapping her and arresting her and raping her. And all of, and I just totally went along with it because of the stereotypes that have been put in place after 350 years. White people raping, white men raping black women? Of course. It almost becomes a footnote, incidental, non-consequential, yawn. So, who's the victim here? Who's the victim? The larger victim, aside from this young woman and these three young men, who's the larger victims here? You are, and so am I. Once again. I'm not above being cool for a while. If you're cruel to me, I understand. Some people run from a possible fight. Some people figure they can never win. And although this is a fight I can lose, the accused is an innocent man.
Nighty night, truth seekers. Time to snuggle up with your favorite screamer, more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. These are the last two emails I'm going to read on the air about the Imus situation, unless he commits suicide, which he might. This is from our bureau chief in Aurora, Illinois. Marianne writes, "Hi there, Mike. They made Imus a sacrificial lamb because, one, he's visible and old and an easy target, and two, they want to do something dramatic before the spotlight gets put on the real haters on TV and radio." Yeah, I agree with that. And from William in Hollywood, "Mike, the truly sad thing is the advertisers choose to show their support for people such as the drug-addicted Rush instead of supporting the truth. The corporations don't care about the lies or the beaten-down employees they need to move their Chinese-built products. It's always about the bottom end to justify the means." Yeah, the bottom line, I think, is what we meant. Yeah, that's true. When I think about the advertising that's this hate-filled, rat-bastard, anti-American, murderous, war-loving coward, Rush Limbaugh, has on his program, and how Nova M Radio, and Air America, for that matter, at least when we first started, before it got into the hands of more fascists, when I think about the struggle that liberal talk radio has had, because we talk the truth, because we don't, you know, do for the corporations what Monica did for Bill Clinton. We just don't. And the struggle, the absolute struggle. And then you listen to the Pigman's program, and you hear national advertiser after national advertiser, and it's disgusting. It's just disgusting. So when mainstream media all of a sudden discovers a whipping boy, in this case Don Imus, on the one hand I want to say good riddance to bad rubbish. On the other hand, I want to say, you hypocritical sons of bitches. So I think I'll say it. You hypocritical sons of bitches. You really are. PBS blog has nothing to do with public broadcasting. PBSblog.com. I want you to go there. There is a there's a 6 minute long video. It's not really a video. It's more like a flash graphic put up there by the person who runs the blog, PBSblog.com. And it's about the stereotyping of Arab speakers, Arabic speakers. And the blogger wrote, "Hi Mike, over the weekend I finished a video project that is now on my website. If you would, please take a look at it. I think the message is important and effective." So I took a look. It's pbsblog.com/no more war. No more war. And I think it's so graphic. I don't mean it's violent, although there are some pretty heavy duty images at the very end. But it's about to a degree, it's about Dubai, the country, the little principality, kingdom, whatever the hell it is, of Dubai in the United Arab Emirates. And what Dubai, and I don't know that the blogger had this in mind when the video was put together, but Dubai in this video looks like what it is, a capitalist wet dream. This is one of the reasons, of course, Halliburton is moving there. A place that exists because of the fine-tuning of both global exploitation and economic rape that it is committed hourly against billions of low-wage workers now and subsistence farmers and people seeing their natural resources ripped out and stolen by transnational corporations that are based in places like Dubai. But you might want to go take a look at it if you get a chance, okay? Just go to PBS, like Public Broadcasting System, but it's not, pbsblog.com/no more war. A war czar? Holy Christ. Ron in Briarwood, New York writes, the subject line, Bush, colon, quote, "I don't want to play anymore," end quote. And then Ron writes, "The chimp in chief is tired of playing with his tin soldiers. It's not fun anymore. He wants to appoint a war czar to do all that commander-in-chiefing stuff. What a sad, miserable failure." Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come back. And about how the truly madmen in this country at the top of that food chain is this useless fake president, George W. Bush, but how the truly insane people setting U.S. policy, foreign policy, and domestic policy, but especially foreign war policy, foreign relation policy, you know, just stomp the hell out of somebody. That'll get their attention. How Bush has effectively destroyed the military. Governors now are screaming toward Washington, you can't do this to our National Guard. You can't do this to our people. Sending people over with no training now, extending their tours by 25%, no equipment. These people, I'm telling you, unless the American public rises up and puts a stop to this peacefully and legally through our elected representatives, these sons of bitches in the Bush crime family are going to destroy it all. They're going to destroy the Justice Department, the United States military, the Supreme Court, Congress as an effective check and balance against executive branch fascism. They're going to destroy it all. Do you understand? The Food and Drug Administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, everything, Department of Homeland Security, everything is being devoured and destroyed by this organization. How much more of this are we going to take? Huh? Honest to God, how much more? Every single institution in this country. Now, three retired generals were offered the job of war czar, and all three of them turned him down. Regardless of what this cappuccino-fried Dana Perino said today at the press briefing.
Well, you haven't offered it to anybody yet.
Yes, you have, you liar. Three generals. And they've all said, no thanks. All right, stick around. We have more to come. More to come indeed. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the NOVEM Radio Network. It's about 6:30 past the hour. Now, before we get into the announcements today by Gates and Bush and Peter Pace and the warmongers who are now running this country, and the warmongers who can't understand that the Iraq War is a just an absolutely stupefying defeat for the United States. And because they can't understand that, are insisting on more death, as much death as they can possibly unload on the American public and the Iraqi public. It's just, I'll tell you, this is just driving me mad. Isn't it you? I mean, it really is, this whole Iraq situation. You and I, who are not military experts, see this as clearly as we saw it before these rat bastards invaded to begin with. It's just amazing to me that 4 years into this, we're still into it. I just can't get my mind around it. But before we show you the what the Nazis are saying today, there's this, and this is from this was in the Washington Post, but it's from the Reuters news agency. It says the suffering of Iraqi civilians is worsening. And there is no sign that a security crackdown, the surge in Baghdad, is bringing relief. That's according to the International Committee of the Red Cross today. Hospitals are stretched to the limit by daily mass casualties. Malnutrition is on the rise. Power shortages are becoming more frequent around the country. The ICRC, International Committee of the Red Cross, said, quote, the humanitarian situation is steadily worsening, and it is affecting, directly or indirectly, all Iraqis, end quote. Thousands of Iraqis continue to be forced out of their homes owing to military operations, poor security, and the destruction of houses. All parties to the conflict, including coalition forces, need to do more to protect ordinary people, the report said. The report is called Civilians Without Protection, the Ever-Worsening Humanitarian Crisis in Iraq. The director of operations for the ICRC told a news conference, quote, the suffering that Iraqi men, women, and children are enduring today is unbearable and unacceptable, end quote. He said there was no indication yet that the clampdown in Baghdad launched in February by Iraqi and U.S.-led coalition forces was improving the situation of civilians. The director of operations said, quote, we are not seeing a stabilizing effect, end quote. The report detailing ICRC operations gave no new figures on the humanitarian impact of the continuing violence, which began with the ousting of former President Saddam Hussein in 2003. Unemployment and hardship levels are rising. An estimated one-third of the population is living in poverty. The quantity and quality of drinking water is insufficient. Doctors and nurses are fleeing the country in large numbers because of the murder and abduction of colleagues, leaving hospitals and other key services desperately short of qualified staff. According to the Iraqi Red Crescent, some 106,000 families, more than 600,000 people, have been driven from their homes to seek refuge elsewhere in Iraq since February. The outlook is bleak, particularly in Baghdad and other areas with mixed communities where the situation is likely to worsen, the Red Cross warned. With that backdrop, let's listen to the moron as he discusses the Iraq War supplemental. He was at the American Legion Post in Fairfax, Virginia, a neo-Nazi organization in this country, if ever one existed. You would think that, now, let me just stop, because I've said this before, and a lot of times it just infuriates people who don't understand what the American Legion is all about. And before you send me an email saying, hey, I'm a member of the American Legion and we're not Nazis, do some research on your own organization. I mean, go back to the 20s and 30s. Go back to its pro-fascist stance. Go back to the part in the American Legion where it supported Mussolini and Hitler and Franco. Do that before you send me an email. Thank you. Now, you would think that this chief chicken, Hawk Chucklenuts of ours, would have run out of veterans groups willing to put up with his lying, hypocritical, warmongering attitude. But he knows, or someone told him, he doesn't know, that the American Legion is more than happy to provide him the backdrop. Here he explains his backward rationale for this fifth escalation and all the progress that's being made.
Rather than retreat, I sent more troops in. Rather than pull back, I made the decision to help this young democracy bring order to its capital.
When?
And I also sent a new commander in, General David Petraeus. He is an expert in counterinsurgency warfare. He's been in Baghdad 2 months. A little less than half of, only about half of the reinforcements that he's asked for have arrived.
We don't have any!
In other words, this operation is just getting started.
Oh, really?
And what I'm telling you is, according to David Petraeus, with whom I speak on a weekly basis, we're beginning to see some progress toward the mission. They're completing the mission.
They are. The mission. Didn't you, you insane bastard, stand under a banner 3 years ago that said, 4 years ago, that said, mission accomplished? So, they're completing the mission. What's the mission? And don't answer. They're completing, huh? So all the car bombs and humanitarian crisis stories and mutilations and beheadings and blown up children, they're just media lies, aren't they, George? What does he say again? This operation is just getting started. We had a quote from him 10 days ago where he said the same damn thing. 5 years into this blood war, and you're just getting started. And those damn Democrats won't give you a blank check, will they, George? Oh, the dirty, rotten, unpatriotic, America-hating Democrats, huh? This next clip is kind of confusing because it seems Raisin Brain is making the same argument that, Dennis Kucinich or John Murtha have made. That the insurgents are not going to stop with the suicide bombs and terrorist attacks against innocent Iraqis and American troops until we get the hell out of there. Why is that so hard to understand? They want us to go. No one wants us there. Not the Sunnis, not the Shia, not the terrorists, not our troops, not the Iraqis, not the insurgents, not the majority of the American people. So other than the executives at Halliburton, Kellogg, Brown & Root, and Blackwater, nobody wants us there.
Look, these people are smart people, these killers. They know that if they can continue these spectacular suicide bombings, that it'll cause the American people to say, is it worth it? Can we win? Is it possible to succeed?
No, no, and no!
And that really speaks to the heart of the American people, I think. I mean, we are a compassionate people.
Oh, my God.
We care about human life. And when we see the wanton destruction of innocent life, it causes us to wonder whether or not it is possible to succeed. I understand that.
Clearly, you do not, you blood-drenched vampire. But some of your Republican cohorts are figuring that out and are abandoning your stinking, sinking political ship like so many furry little rats. You understand what? You understand nothing, Bush. As far as the American people, this causing the American people to say, is it worth it? The Americans keep telling you emphatically, no! So do the Iraqi people. Who's telling you it is worth it? Your father's aging, decrepit cohorts are not telling you. Who's still telling you it's worth it? Your mother? Who's telling you, George? That psychopathic dead man, Dick Cheney? That other psychopathic dead man, Karl Rove, both of whom are animatronically... never mind. Okay, a couple more from Chuckle Nuts, and then a response. We have a response here from someone who gave a speech in Iraq during that huge demonstration, the followers of... I'll solder. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
The lust of death's possession will overtake his psycho mind. He won't be happy till he smells.
Redefining Anger Management. It's Mike Malloy, only on Nova M Radio.
21 past the hour. Back to this psychopath who squats in the Oval Office talking about his war supplemental before the American Legion post in Fairfax, Virginia. Incredibly, next in his diatribe that's just so beyond anything in the real world as to render it almost meaningless. He begins to blame the Democrats for putting the troops at risk because they refuse to give him unlimited funds with no strings to keep killing and maiming and killing as long as he wants or until all his toy soldiers are broken and he has to throw them all away. And the American Legionnaires just sat there.
64 days ago, I said to the United States Congress, these troops need funding. And instead of proving that vital funding, the Democrat leadership in Congress has spent the past 64 days pushing legislation that would undercut our troops.
You lying son of a bitch.
General Peter Pace recently testified that if Congress fails to pass a bill I can sign by mid-April, the Army will be forced to consider cutting back on equipment repair and quality of life initiatives for our Guard and Reserve forces.
What?
The Army will also be forced to consider curtailing some training for Guard and Reserve units here at home. The clock is ticking for our troops in the field. And the longer Congress delays, the worse the impact on the men and women of the armed forces will be.
Oh, you filthy dog. Yeah, that's right. The Democrats have it in for the troops. Yeah. Aside from the fact that both the House and the Senate now, haven't both of them passed bills providing more funding than this psychopathic son of a bitch wants? But because it mandated that at some point Bush had to stop killing people and bring our folks home, he didn't like it. He wants to be able to kill as he wants to be able to hand this off in 2008 to the Democratic president. He wants a war czar because his toys are broken and his soldiers don't want to fight anymore. And the governors of the states that control, to some degree, the National Guard is saying, wait a second, what the hell are you doing? And the military leaders are saying, we can't keep doing this. But Bush doesn't hear any of it because he is insane. Or maybe not. Maybe his plan is deliberately to ruin the United States military and replace it with corporate types? Blackwater? DynCorp? He has managed to cripple what was once the greatest military force on Earth. He's almost destroyed it. Can you believe this? And what's left to protect our country from a real attack? Huh? Blackwater? Jesus, God. Daryl Montgomery writes, Mike, I watched a story on ABC News tonight, and I saw this too, about a soldier who finished his commitment to the Army, including surviving a tour of duty in Iraq. He was backdoor drafted to Iraq again, where he was grievously injured by a landmine. He lost an eye, part of his brain, and has the loss of the use of his hands. I could have taken my television and thrown it out the window. And Don Imus is trashing kids playing basketball and trying to get an education? Daryl in Alabama. Last one from the psychopath. Yet again accusing the Democrats of the exact opposite of what they're trying to do. He says they're keeping the troops deployed in Iraq longer than necessary. The Democrats are. The Democrats are. Because the Democrats... I'll play it after the break. This is classic destruction of language. I was going to say newspeak, but that almost puts it into a faux literary context. This is so far beyond newspeak. This is what the communists used to tell their people. This is even worse than the Nazis. The Nazis were just a huge killing machine. The Soviets, the communists, were a huge machine that not only killed, but also took great pleasure in driving people insane before they killed them. And this is what Bush is doing. It's because he is insane, because he likes to play soldier, because he doesn't understand that every time one of his toy soldiers breaks, it's a human being who dies. He goes on with this. We'll be right back. Let me tell you about hard work.
but you want a scavenger hunt for terror.
That's all the game. A scavenger hunt for terror. Jesus. So anyway, this is the last one from the moron. The as he calls him, the Democrat Party, although it's called the Democratic Party. He accuses the Democrats of the exact opposite of what they're trying to do. Bush insists that the leaders of the Democratic Party are trying to keep the troops deployed in Iraq longer than necessary. I guess he assumes we don't understand that he just said that they're trying to bring them home before his mission is accomplished. This is why I say he's a psychopath. He is crazy. I'm not saying this as a way of demeaning or denigrating this rat bastard. That's why I use the term rat bastard. The man is insane. Bush wants you to forget that Gates came out today and said that because of Bush's failed war plan, troops that were supposed to come home will have their tours extended. The Democratic Party leadership didn't say that. The Secretary of Defense said that. But Bush spins this into being those unpatriotic, dirty Democrats' fault. Riddle me this, Mensa man. When the Republicans controlled Congress, who was at fault then? For all the failures of your war. Was it Murtha then? Was it Reed? Was it Pelosi? You had your blank check for 4 years. You spent your filthy so-called political capital, George, and you still have made no progress. You're going backwards. So here he continues his stupefyingly sick predictions of the terrible things that'll happen if the Democratic Congress doesn't continue to fund with no strings attached his free-for-all death party in Iraq.
The Army will be forced to consider slowing or even freezing funding for its depots, where the equipment our troops depend on is repaired.
Oh, my God.
Some of our forces now deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq may need to be extended.
What may need?
Bottom line is this. Congress's failure to fund our troops will mean that some of our military families could wait longer for their loved ones to return from the front lines.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you care about them.
Others could see their loved ones headed back to war sooner than anticipated.
Oh, my God.
It is irresponsible for the Democratic leadership in Congress to delay for months on end while our troops in combat are waiting for the funds they need to succeed.
He says these things because Rove and Cheney know that the people he's saying them to, not these thugs at the American Legion, but the 35% of Americans that still support him, if it's that high. Or the people who still believe that we can't, quote, cut and run, end quote. He says this stuff directed towards them. He says people could see their loved ones headed back to war sooner than anticipated. Oh, for God's sake, that has been going on for 3 years. Military families could wait longer for their loved ones to return. From the front lines? What the hell is he talking about front lines? That's World War II, you psychopath! There are no front lines! And what does he mean? People are waiting now, and when he says some of our forces may be need in Iraq and Afghanistan may need to be extended, his Secretary of State or Defense said today that they would all be extended for 3 months. Oh my God! Now, listen up. Here's the voice of the resistance in Iraq, the people of Iraq, the Shiites. This is a word direct from the leader, Muqtada al-Sadr. It's not the puppet regime we have there. It is Muqtada al-Sadr. Listen, listen.
In your name, you the Mujahideen, we call for a pullout of the occupiers and the withdrawal of the last U.S. soldier. We also reject the presence of any form of military bases on the land of the faithful. I want you to make America, Tel Aviv, and the White House, and all the tyrants here, get out. Get out, occupiers.
Listen to that, George. Those are our allies. Those are not Sunni death squads. Those are not insurgents. Those are not Syrians or Iranians. Those are not Hezbollah or Hamas. Those are our allies, George. And I want you to hear it one more time.
In your name, you the Mujahideen, we call for a pullout of the occupiers and the withdrawal of the last U.S. soldier. We also reject the presence of any form of military bases on the land of the faithful. I want you to make America, Tel Aviv, and the White House, and all the tyrants here, get out. Get out, occupiers.
All right, now real quick, let's bring in this monkey from Cleveland, Robert, who wants to say something probably totally ridiculous, but go ahead, Robert.
I would like to say, you know, first off, that I am a conservative, but I would like to find some kind of common ground and try to have an intelligent conversation with you.
That's impossible. Conservatives do not have intelligence.
No, because, see, now you're generalizing me with the rest.
No, I'm being specific. I'm talking about you, Robert, but go ahead. Make an effort.
All right. I have two brother-in-laws that are actually over there in Iraq right now. Well, actually, one of them came back, and he volunteered to go back. And they have actually witnessed and seen people kissing their feet, thanking them for being there and helping them. And they're, he has hundreds and hundreds of pictures of people walking around with signs saying, thank you, United States. We love you, America. And yet all the media wants to show is the people saying leave.
Well, so, let me ask you something. Let's suppose that all of a sudden the United States is invaded by a force a million times superior to us. And let's suppose that they execute our president. And let's suppose that they dissolve our military. And let's suppose that they banish our Congress. And let's suppose that they bring in somebody to govern us who has a last name like yours or mine, but is really working for this invading force. Now, let me ask you something, Robert. When these people come through your neighborhood fully armed with the power to kill your children and rape your wife and cut your head off, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, get out of my country, bastard, or are you going to drop to your knees and kiss their feet? Tell me an honest answer, Robert.
It's better to live on your feet than to die on
your... Oh, get him out of here. Get him out now. Get him out before I curse him and call him a dumb son of a bitch. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. This guy didn't hear the... Play it again. One more time. I want to hear it again. Now listen, Robert, you freak. Listen, all you right-wingers. Listen. Listen to this. These are our allies.
In your name, you the Mujahideen, we call for a pullout of the occupiers and the withdrawal of the last U.S. soldier. We also reject the presence of any form of military bases on the land of the faithful. I want you to make America, Tel Aviv, and the White House, and all the tyrants here, get out. get out, occupiers.
So let me ask you, Robert, do these people seem happy to have us there? Do they sound like they want to kiss your feet? Or your knees? Or any part of your anatomy, you psychopath? Do they? Well, they don't to me. Matter of fact, Robert, they sound highly volatile and very pissed. Frankly, your two brothers-in-law, I think you're making it up to begin with. And secondly, anyone who goes back for another tour obviously is not in combat. If he is in a combat unit, then he's insane. And call me, Robert, when your two brothers-in-law come back in boxes or come back with their heads shot off or their arms missing or their guts on some dirty, dusty street in downtown Baghdad. Okay, Robert?
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Now, Bush's ignorance to the contrary, the Pentagon has ordered all active duty Army troops now in Iraq or Afghanistan or headed to either country to serve 15 months on their tour of duty, up from 12-month tours, effective immediately. Now, the clips we played for you from Bush standing before the paleo-fascist American Legion, those clips were from Monday. Today is Wednesday. We are to believe, then, that 2 days ago, 48 hours ago, this lying son of a bitch in the Oval Office had no idea that within 48 hours, his Secretary of Defense was going to extend everybody's tour into this meat grinder for an additional 3 months. Because obviously, Bush didn't know, or wants us to think he didn't know, because of his statement that a worst-case scenario may be, what if the American wives and mothers find out that the troops are going to be extended because of these dirty goddamn Democrats? He didn't know this 48 hours ago? Either he didn't, which proves further his incompetence, or he did and proves further his ability to stand there and lie, or both. Gates says this change is, quote, a difficult and necessary interim step, end quote, and said it would at least give soldiers and their families more predictability than they have now? What? Oh, well, that's a blessing, isn't it? The change will not affect National Guard or Army Reserve troops. This is regular Army only. It will not affect the Marine Corps, whose members are deployed, usually in keeping with where the Navy is located around the planet. The Marine Corps people serve overseas for 7 months and then come home for six. Gates said, quote, I realize this decision will ask a lot of American troops and their families, end quote. Jesus, God. And then he and Pace expressed appreciation for the valor and sacrifice of American fighting men and women. They are turning valor and honor into something filthy and bad and useless, because this is not a war. This is an occupation. No one attacked us. Nobody invaded us. Nobody did anything to us in Iraq. Nothing. We decided to take over Iraq, or Bush decided, or somebody decided, or Cheney decided. And these people have the gall to say, well, we appreciate the valor and honor and sacrifice of the American soldier. Ah, you filthy bastards. Ah, you filthy bastards. I swear, if the hell that you all believe in does exist, you're going there. You're going there. You're going there head first, upside down, for all eternity. It's just incredible. Gates, at his press conference, dismissed any suggestion that extending the troops by 25% of their normal deployment is any sort of a sign at all that the American military is broken. They're killing us. They're killing us. Military families speak out, release the following statement. While some in the administration and Congress continue to say the U.S. is making progress in Iraq, what military families know is that this month, April 2007, troop deaths have risen to an average of 4 each day from an average of 2 to 3 per day since the beginning of the year. Countless Iraqi women, children, and men continue to die daily in the violence. While new leadership in the House and the Senate has put timelines in the versions of the war spending bills to be reconciled and sent to President Bush for what he promises to be a veto, what military families know is that these timelines are either recommendations or come with loopholes that make them non-enforceable. The fact remains that both the House and Senate versions of the war spending bill provide Bush with the funds he is seeking to continue a war that never should have happened. The statement from the military family speak out goes on, quote, meanwhile, the current escalation of the war in Iraq continues, with more troop extensions looming and new units being readied for deployment or redeployment without adequate training, without adequate equipment, without adequate time between deployments. What military families speak out and our over 3,000 member families are now seeking is for our loved ones to be better trained, better equipped, and rested to go off and fight and die in a war based on lies. We continue to call on Congress to use its power of the purse to fund our troops and defund the war by providing all funds necessary for their safe and orderly withdrawal from Iraq and the care they need when they come home. That's what military families are saying, not what Gates or Pace or Bush or Cheney or any of these bloodlusted bastards are saying. That's what the families who have people in this war zone are saying. Gates calls it a difficult and necessary interim step, 15-month tours of duty instead of 12, effective when? Now. Today. Immediately. Tonight. My God. Gates said the new policy will ensure that, quote, all share the burden equally, end quote. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Welcome back. About 6 and a half past the hour. You probably saw the story. Bush has invited, or heard the story. Bush invited Democratic leaders for a sit down on Iraq. Huh? Come on by the White House. It seemed to offer the opportunity for a breakthrough, according to the Associated Press, in their bitter differences over the war for about 5 seconds. Then the White House spent the rest of the day explaining what the meeting would not be. It is not a chance to compromise. Bush is not going to budge. It is not a time for Bush to discuss substantially with Democratic lawmakers policy in Iraq. Although he did say he might reiterate why the Democrats' proposals to set troop withdrawal timelines are foolish and irresponsible. And whatever you do, don't call it a negotiation. It'll be a discussion. He said, we can discuss the way forward on a bill that is a clean bill, a bill that funds our troops without artificial timetables for withdrawal and without handcuffing our generals on the ground. Don't you wish they would get away from those catchphrases, artificial timetables for withdrawal? Who came up with that? Rove? They must burn this into his brain. Handcuffing our generals on the ground. They're not handcuffed. But apparently Bush can't handle it. He can't handle it. So he wants a war czar. He wants a war czar. He wants somebody. He wants a high-powered somebody to oversee both wars with authority, get this, authority to issue directions to the Pentagon, the State Department, and other agencies. Directions. Orders. Chuckle nuts, that's supposed to be your job. You're the commander-in-chief. You're the decider. You're the decision-maker, Bubba. At least three retired four-star generals approached by the White House, according to the Washington Post, have declined to be considered for the position. Retired Marine General John Sheehan, a former top NATO commander who was among those rejecting the job, said, quote, the very fundamental issue is they, the Bush administration, don't know where the hell they're going, end quote. Sheehan says he believes that Cheney and his hawkish allies remain more powerful than within this corrupt administration than those looking for a way out of Iraq. He said, quote, so rather than go over there, develop an ulcer, and eventually leave, I said, no thanks, end quote. Now, the highest-ranking White House official currently responsible exclusively for the wars is Deputy National Security Advisor Megan O'Sullivan. I wonder what her military service is. I wonder how many troops she's commanded. How many insurgencies has she fought against? How many occupying armies has she commanded? How many times has she been in a combat zone? Oh, well, she reports to National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley and does not have power to issue orders to agencies. Stephen Hadley, National Security Advisor, how many insurgencies has he been involved in? How many occupying armies has he had command of? How many combat zones has he been in? My God. The Washington Post says, unlike Megan O'Sullivan, the new czar would report directly to Bush and to Hadley, and would have the title of assistant to the president. The new czar would also have tasking authority, or the power to issue directions. To fill such a role, the White House is searching for someone with enough stature and confidence to deal directly with heavyweight administration figures such as Condoleezza Rice, and Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Oh, my God. Kirk Campbell, a Clinton administration Pentagon official who heads the Center for a New American Security, said the difficulty in finding someone to take the job shows that Bush has exhausted the ability to sign up people to help salvage a disastrous war. It's just incredible. It's just incredible. Oh, well. And I get a phone call from some freak who wants to tell me about, well, my brother-in-law says they want to kiss his boots. They really do. They fall down on the ground and offer their daughters and chocolate. My God. All right, let's see if we can get a phone call in here before I dump too much cappuccino, Perino on you from today. Let's start with Sanchez, who's calling from California. Sanchez, welcome to the program.
What's shaking, man?
Nothing but the trees.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's give them a really good shake tonight.
That's
the reason why I'm trying to call here. I know that you're ready to, like, stick barbecue tongs into your eye sockets over the subject of Don Imus.
I am, indeed.
So I'm going to try and put as positive a spin on this as possible. First off, what was Sheldon Drobny's email address to sign up for that? Because bravo to him for that email. That's exactly where I want to go with this.
It's novamradio.com, and it's someplace right in the middle of the main page.
Okay.
You can't miss it.
Okay, because right after I get off this call, I'm going to sign up for that thing. This is part of something. I'm going to try and refer back to a phone call that we had. I know you won't remember it, but it's Coretta Scott King's funeral. I called you up, and you were in a particularly snarly mood with Tucker Carlson, who was exhibiting this arrogance that we talk about, okay? And
right.
He was exhibiting it that night because he and the rest of the right-wingers thought that the participants in her funeral were being rude.
Yeah.
And so...
yeah. Yeah, just like the participants in... whose funeral was it? Paul Wellstone's funeral were being too political.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, it's their funerals, you know. But
yeah.
The question I asked you at the end of the conversation concerning this arrogance in broadcasting was, when would the collective consciousness of the American people start questioning this arrogance in broadcasting? And I have a feeling that day has come over this Don Imus thing. It's like a snowball effect at this point. I don't know if you heard it or not this afternoon, but was it this afternoon or this morning? General Motors and American Express, as well as a few other people, announced that they were pulling out of the advertising.
I wonder if they advertise anywhere on or near the Pigman's program. If they support Limbaugh and pull away from Imus, they're displaying the type of corporate hypocrisy that I've come to know and love so dearly over the past 25 years.
Right, right, and so have I. I've been listening to public radio for the past 30 years, man. I'm with you on that page as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that we are beginning to question their responsibility in the media, they're shirking their responsibility, I'm sorry, in favor of money, but we're questioning it. And this is a weird way of tying it in, the same way that Hillary Clinton and John Edwards were snubbing Fox for, you know, they're taking them to task for that same behavior. They don't want to participate in that, the debates that they're sponsoring.
Right.
It's the same thing, but this is all a snowball effect. It's the pushback to all of this. So,
well, I hope you're right, Sanchez. I hope what we're seeing here, you know, Imus is just the first one of these unconscionable, racist, negative bastards to go down. Now, on the other hand, I said a couple of weeks ago that I started watching the Imus program because I couldn't stand watching the garbage on CNN that's
mm-hmm.
supposed to be a cable news network. And I started liking the Imus program. I haven't been that big of a fan of Imus as a talk show host. I didn't know until I started doing some research about his racist, homophobic...
You didn't know? Oh, my God.
...statement. Yeah, yeah. But I found out real damn quick. And
yeah.
Now, like I say, I'm glad he's gone, and I hope CBS dumps his ass, too. Hey, listen, I got to go, Sanchez.
Okay, man.
Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break, y'all.
Of sheep led by a handful of pigs.
21 past the hour. All right. The Neutron Blonde was full speed today in her multifaceted defense of this criminal administration. We have a little too much cappuccino per unit for you. No wonder she talks so fast. It's damn near impossible to defend so many crimes and injustices from many angles under 30 minutes. Gonzalez and the entire Justice Department is falling apart. Decimated armed service and abuse of our troops is daily front page news. Now Bush wants a war czar of his very own, but nobody wants a job. Wow, the White House needs to hire that speed talker from the old McDonald's commercials. Two double meat patties, special sauce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. No wonder Spinderella talks so fast. The reporter asked about Bush's fall guy, the war czar plans. Dana, does the president believe that someone of a significant public stature needs to come to this administration to assist in overseeing how the war is managed?
You're referring to a story in the Washington Post that talked about a possible reorganization within the National Security Council. That is something that is under consideration. Uh-huh. It would be a little bit like putting the cart before the horse if we were to say that that is a done deal, because no one's been offered the job.
Maybe what she meant to say, no one will take the job. That would be less of a lie and more in line with the truth. Dana, no one has been offered the job, and we have three generals quoted in the Washington Post as saying they were offered the job and said no. On the war czar of his very own that Bush just so much wants to have. I want a war czar! What exactly is this war czar going to do? Isn't Bush the commander-in-chief? Are he and Cheney tired of all the armchair killing they've been doing the last four plus years? Is he looking for a superhero he can point at during press conferences? Or somebody to take the blame for his failed military plans, huh? So a reporter asks Buffy, the press secretary, Buffy, Dana, if I could follow, Representative Rahm Emanuel has put out a statement about this saying, quote, the Washington Post reports that the White House wants to appoint a war czar to run the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but they can't find anyone to do it. Someone needs to tell Steve Hadley that position is filled. It's called the commander-in-chief, unless the decider has become the delegator, end quote. Dana, do you see his point?
Well, I think it's really interesting coming from somebody who works with 217 other members of Congress who think that they are commanders-in-chief. The president is the commander-in-chief. He has had no trouble attracting very high-caliber talent to positions across the administration, even late in the administration.
Yeah.
And I think that it is a responsible thing to consider whether or not a restructuring is needed. I think it behooves us to consider a wide variety of opinions and
behooves?
To consult widely. To see how we move forward to make sure that these policies are implemented for the benefit of our men and women who are on the ground fighting for us. And I think anybody who misunderstands exactly what we are trying to do in this position is only trying to seek, I think that it might be a clever soundbite, but I think it was quite a cheap political shot.
Oh, do you really? Let's see. He has had no trouble attracting very high talent. Rummy, Gonzalez, Ashcroft, Negroponte, Kissinger, Elliot Abrams, Spencer Abraham, Wolfowitz, Gail Norton, Brownie? What a crew! Hey, Dana? Yeah! High caliber talent, you're damn right, boy! It behooves us to consider a wide variety of opinions? No. First of all, I have to bow down to you, Dana, for working the word behooves into your answer, into a press conference, into this administration, but you don't consider not only a wide variety of opinions, you don't consider any opinion. So you're going to be just like the rest of them, just lying sons of bitches, huh, Dana? Okay. So good for old Harry Reid. He refuses to meet with Chuckle Nuts to have a discussion about the supplemental showdown, because if the decider has declared that he'll accept nothing less than another blank check, then what's the point? So this reporter asked the ditzy chick, is there no room in Bush's little brain for negotiations or compromise? If that doesn't exist, why have a meeting? That's a fair question. The question is, what does it say about the strain in relations between the White House and the Senate, Democratic leader, that the two can't even agree on what the meeting has been called?
The president invited them down to discuss how that we could get to a clean bill, because one of the things that we know to be a fact is that they do not have the votes to override the president's veto.
Oh.
We also know that it's a fact the president said that if the bills pass in their current form, that he would veto them.
Oh.
So At some point, the Democrats are going to have to come together and figure out a way to get the president a clean bill that he can sign in order for the troops to get the money that they need.
Really?
And that is the point of the meeting.
Really? Is that what the point of the meeting? Oh, at some point, the Democrats are going to have to come together and figure out a way to get the president a clean bill, or else the war will have to stop. Well, gosh, we can't have the war stop. That's a tough choice there. Blah, 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 blah. Also, at the meeting, Bush would like to address his supreme cowboyness. That's how he wants to be addressed. And ask that the Democrats bow and blow kisses as he enters the room and toss flowers to his feet as he strides around the room waving his scepter or his sword or his AK-47. Again, why should Reed even show up if it's just to have Bush's Coke-stained finger wagging his face about giving him all the money he wants without, so he can keep up the killing? And about the drug czar, nobody's been offered anything about the drug czar. Blah, blah, blah. You guys are just reading from the Washington Post. Blah, blah, blah. War czar. Drugs are, education are, it doesn't make a big difference. Oh, you guys have been reading the Washington Post. That's how you've been doing. You've been reading the Washington Post. Can I get anybody a coffee? I got to go for a coffee break. I'll be right back.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
26 before the hour, so Angie writes in about too much cappuccino perino and says, is she always like that? She's scary, like an evil clown with lipstick on crack. William in Hollywood has a candidate for the new czar. He says, I feel positive that this position would be a perfect fit for Rush Limbaugh. After all, he has all the qualifications, one being the rather large mouth, the ability to lie without conscience, and all the drugs needed for a good night's sleep. Yeah, Rush Limbaugh, that's a good one. Yeah, oh my God. All right. Last one from Too Much Cappuccino Perino tonight. A reporter finally asks Deep Dana Thrombosis here about the upcoming Gonzales hearings and the subpoenas that Congress issued, you know, the Democrat Congress, to compel the Justice Department to release all sorts of interesting documents and about how Gonzo is practicing questions and answers with his top staffers. Why do you have to rehearse if you're just going to tell the truth? Now, everybody knows this, starting with Sunday school teachers who handle four-year-olds. Why do you have to rehearse your answers if you're going to tell the truth? News reports suggest he's not doing so hot in his preparation, and his staff is frustrated with his confusion over facts and timelines. You got to wonder about all of Torquemada's dry runs, huh? You know, if he's telling the truth, what does he say? Why does he have to practice? Do you practice telling the truth? Do you sit in front of a mirror or with your staff and pretend like you're being questioned by Democrat members of the House or the Senate? Do you have to do that? So Legally Bland here has a problem with that concept, obviously, because she considers Gonzales to be a man of integrity. Oh, my God. Reporter. Has the president directed Secretary Gonzales to comply with the, or Attorney General Gonzales to comply with, see, it's not secretary. Oh, I get it. Attorney General Gonzales to comply with the congressional subpoena for more documents, or has Mr. Bush told him to compromise, to say no? Where does all of that stand, Dana?
I have not talked to the president about the subpoena issue. I know that the president early on, at the beginning of this, asked the Justice Department to be fully responsive to the Congress in terms of its specific requests that it had. But as far as yesterday's subpoena, I have not spoken to the president about that.
Direction has been given to should the Attorney General prepare for this?
Not specifically that I know of. I know that it's an important hearing. I think that, of course, we're in close contact with the Justice Department, but I don't know of any White House official who's been at the Justice Department. Of course, the Attorney General is a person of incredible integrity, and as long as he can go up there and have his day and talk to the members of Congress, you know, he asked for a day for this day to come earlier. That wasn't able to work out, so we'll wait until Tuesday.
He asked for this day to come earlier? Really? Did he? I didn't know that. The Attorney General is a person of incredible integrity? Really? Does a person of incredible integrity, Dana, figure out a way for the President of the United States, whether he's there legally or not, to bypass the Geneva Conventions on torture? Does he, Dana? Is that what a man of incredible integrity does? He asked for this day to come early, but that wasn't able to work out because the Democrats are still waiting now through subpoena for the Justice Department to hand over the relevant documents, so we'll just wait until Tuesday. Not specifically that I know of. It's just an important hearing. I know it's an important hearing. Some of the hearings are really important, but some of them aren't, and this one is, but some aren't. You know, some hearings are not. When you go before Congress, they're not actually important, but this one is. It's really an important hearing. It's right up there. It's the top two or three. It's almost as important as, oh, I don't know, getting a war czar.
Like, I just want everybody out there to know for sure, like, nobody sped up her audio, okay? Because, I mean, I have all that equipment here. It's really cool equipment, you know, and we're air-conditioned down here because I've got so many equipment and so much wires and so many things like that. So it gets really, really hot down here, which is a whole other ball of wax because, you know, my hair gets really frizzy and I have to use extra gel. And gel just makes my skin dry if it gets around my scalp. You know what I'm talking about? But anyway, so I didn't speed up her speech. I just want you to know.
Oh, my God. It's madness. Sure, I'm laughing. Sure, I'm laughing. But it's madness. It's insanity. Sometimes I've discovered something. Sometimes I've developed the ability to sometimes laugh instead of screaming and crying.
Senator John McCain of Arizona today accused his potential Democratic rivals of playing, quote, small politics, end quote, in opposing the war in Iraq, saying withdrawal would lead to chaos, embolden al-Qaeda, and expose the United States to, quote, another 9/11, or worse, end quote. McCain said, America has a vital interest in preventing the emergence of Iraq as a Wild West for terrorists, similar to Afghanistan before 9/11.
Will somebody please tell McCain that that is a fait accompli thanks to his suck buddy, George Bush? Please somebody tell him that.
He made a speech before hundreds of cadets clad in their gray and white uniforms at the Virginia Military Institute in Lexington, Virginia.
Oh, yeah. That's the place that was ordered to integrate, you know, allow women. The Virginia Military Institute. That goes back to Civil War days, doesn't it? Yeah.
He went on to say, in Iraq today, terrorists have resorted to levels of barbarism that shock the world, and we should not be so naive as to believe their intentions are limited solely to the borders of that country. We Americans are their primary enemy, and we Americans are their ultimate target.
Levels of barbarism that shocked the world. Torture? Abu Ghraib? Guantanamo? Raping and murdering a 14-year-old and killing her family? Oh, yeah, that is... Oh, wait! That's what our side does. Oh, that's right. The insurgents use car bombs to blow up innocent people. Well, I would say that maybe we're on a moral equivalency. I mean, come on, John. Murdering innocent people is, pardon the redundancy, murdering innocent people. Isn't it? Or is there something about murder as committed by insurgents versus murder as committed by us. Oh, never mind. Is every single Republican insane? Yes.
Are you referring just to the ones in office, Mike, or all Republicans?
All Republicans.
Oh, okay. Are you now talking in two voices and answering yourself?
Yes.
Why are you doing that, Mike?
Because they've driven me insane, too. And I miss Rumsfeld.
You miss Rumsfeld?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Why do you miss Rumsfeld?
Because I liked the noises he would make. And the rhetorical questions. Don't you remember that?
You better take some calls, Mike, because, you know, sitting here talking to yourself in two different voices is not really sane.
I know.
Oh. Well, I gotta go now.
Goodbye.
Sandra is calling from Berkeley, California. Hey, Sandra.
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you tonight.
Which one of us?
I'll take all of you.
Okay.
When you get under stress, you split personalities, you know.
Yeah, I know. Oh God, do I know? Yeah.
Hey, I have a question for you. Okay.
Okay.
If you wanted to say some crazy person wanted to take over a country.
Yeah.
And say he had a bunch of friends, you know, that had a security company that were crazy also.
Okay.
And they had like 200,000 people.
Yeah.
Working for them that were loyal to them. Okay?
Yes. Yes.
The crazy ones.
Yes.
And let's say. Wanted to get rid of the army of this country that you want to take over. How would you do that?
Overextend the military, make them go in for 15 months instead of 12, provide them armor and equipment, and undertrain them. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my God.
No, wait. But I have another question for you.
Okay.
And then let's say you just take all the army out of the country and send them somewhere else, for example. Right?
Yeah, that too.
And then they leave the country unprotected, right?
Holy Toledo, Sandra!
And then, let's say there's an emergency in the country. You know, kind of like 9/11?
Yeah.
Or maybe not really, but kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
You need security. So what are you going to do? Oh, I know a great company.
And their initials are Blackwater USA.
And, like, we could bring those in. And, like, they could be our new force to, like, take care of everything and control everything.
Like, wow, that's really, really, that's so true. That's really, I mean, like, wow, Sandra, I think you figured something out. Like, oh, my God.
So I just have to say that I thought of this last night because I've been seeing this for a long time that they are doing this. So why? We need to ask ourselves what we can do about this. And I heard that Arnold Schwarzenegger, because I live in California, is thinking about hiring Blackwater, and they're building a, you know, Blackwater compound here. I don't want these people here.
I know. Hey, yeah. Listen, Sandra, watch your back. We got to go. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
I appreciate you checking in.
You rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door, throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me.
It's about 9 minutes before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff once again tonight for engineering the program and co-producing out of Phoenix at KPHX. By the way, he also answered your call, so be nice to him when you call in. Kristen, Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Rockstar Mark Marshall is our webmaster.
Go to markmarshall.com for more information about his new CD, New Eye. If you haven't listened to that, shame on you. And also, who out there in the Phoenix area is not coming to the event where's the place, Kathy? It's the Axis Radius in Scottsdale this Sunday. 4 p.m., live music, entertainment, drinks. Who's going to be there? Stephanie Miller, Jeff Farias, Bill Press, Tom Hartman, me. If you haven't signed, well, how much is it? $10? And how much for two people? $14.80? And there's still tickets? Okay. Y'all just keep it up. Go ahead. Just keep it up. You Phoenix listeners, just keep it up. Keep not supporting something like this. And pretty soon you know who's going to be on KPHX? Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Neil Bortz, and your favorite, Alan Colmes. No, I don't know how many tickets they've sold. I really don't. I just know for $10, for God's sake. Come on, y'all. Andre writes about too much methamphetamine Perino. He says, I like her more than Tony Snow. It's like ping pong. Yeah, it is. Back to your phone calls. Tom in Glendale, Arizona. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program. Yo, Tom. Yeah, yeah. Hi, hi.
Hi, thanks. I'm thinking maybe also it's a big money grab. I mean, every other week he wants to come to Congress and ask for another $100 billion. It's like an empty pit.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Nova M Radio. It was a money grab.
No.
Because first we want
Bush's money grab with Iraq.
First we want you to sign up as a founding member, and then we want you to spend $10 to come to a gig at Axis Radio. Are you coming?
Yeah, I'm planning on coming, Mike. I was hoping I could just buy him at the door, but
well, I wouldn't count on that. You just don't count on that. Get the ticket in advance.
I'll do
two previous events they've sold out. Now the fact that I'm coming to this one may mean that they won't sell out. But
and this is Friday. Right, the day after tomorrow?
No, Sunday.
Oh, Sunday, this Sunday.
Sunday, this Sunday.
Oh, good.
Call them up. You're right there in Phoenix. Right. Call them up and get your ticket, okay? Or tickets, all right?
Definitely will do, two of them at least.
All right, you want the number?
Yeah, that'd be
what's good. Your area code?
623.
Okay, well, you want to dial 602.
Okay, 602.
257.
257.
1351.
Oh, good.
I'd like to meet you, and then you can, you know, at some point during the gig, just come over and say hi. Thanks for giving me the phone number. Here I am. All right.
Oh, cool. Definitely.
And then I'll even introduce you to some important people there, like Tom Hartman.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. well, you're the most important person there for all.
No. I'm just a working man. All right. What else you got, Tom?
I just thought that he's just, you know, a bottomless pit, this Bush. You know, he's just trying to, you know, siphon out as much money as possible. And
yes, that's
true. Just blame the Democrats, you know, every time something. And then the other thing is that a lot of Iraqis are being displaced. They're coming to the United States, and a lot of them are going for psychiatric help, probably because they even have a liaison now who speaks fluent Arabic for the last year or so. And they've been handling the caseload of all the Iraqis that have been displaced because we invaded their country over there,
right?
And tortured and humiliated.
Oh, the mental illness that the Bush crime family is generating amongst Iraqis, amongst all people in the Middle East, and amongst our soldiers, is just unconscionable. That's why I almost wish, almost not quite, almost wish I were a believer. Well, I guess Christian mythology, so I could condemn these people to hell.
Yeah.
But I don't.
So. I'm the same boat you are, my guy.
All right, listen, Tom, thanks. I got to go. Thanks for checking in.
Okay,
all right? I appreciate your call. Did I mention going to markmarshall.com yet tonight? Did I just say that? We've been listening to his CD, and yeah, I'm pushing his CD a little bit here tonight because he's our webmaster. What the hell do you want me to do? You know, just like I push John Neem's music, too, because he's a loyal listener. Yeah, and come Friday, we're going to play some of both But if you haven't gone to markmarshall.com, yeah, just do it. Are there downloads there, Kathy? Can people hear some of the music? There are downloads there? Okay. And check it out. And, of course, you heard me talk about John Neems, the piano tuner from Las Vegas. So either place tonight, I'm pushing both of them, but kind of especially pushing our webmaster, Mark Marshall, whom you've heard me mention his name for what now, 3 years? How long has Mark been doing our website? By the way, it needs some updating, doesn't it? Well, but go listen to some of Mark Marshall's music, and then when you really like it, when you go, damn, buy a CD. You all do that, don't you? Buy a CD? I bought, what did I buy this weekend, Kathy? I bought 3. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.